Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio. I am merely the host, Mike Salmon, alongside Steve and Julian. How are you, Steven?
I'm doing great, Mike. Boy, you sound like you're rested. You sound excited. Did you have a little vacation?
A little bit. Three days.
You look tan.
Four days and three nights, Tampa, Florida.
Fantastic.
Busch Gardens, got away from everything.
I saw you on roller coasters. Well done, sir.
I did. I put photos up and everything. So glad to be back and glad to talk to our guests today. We've got a couple great guests from Green 4 Solutions, Sean Golden and Peter Oliver. Peter Oliver is the co-founder of the company. And Sean Golden is just Sean Golden.
Living my life like it's golden. That's it. I've got to say that.
Obviously, Peter, I mentioned the co-founder. Sean, what is you represent here? You're kind of running the North American operations, if you will.
Well, just briefly, Peter and I had a chance to connect about 6 months ago down at the near the airport. Reconnected a little bit after that over up here in Gwinnett. Went across the pond. Spent some time in the countryside there outside of London. And Luther,
that was an experience, wasn't it?
That was an experience. And Peter definitely should be Mario Andretti's teacher because he drives pretty fast on those tight roads.
And he was driving on the wrong side of the road.
On the wrong side of the road, exactly. So came back here to the States, got full time, and just beating the bushes trying to expand the knowledge of Green 4 Solutions to our customers and clients here in North America.
All right, Peter, Green 4 Solutions. Tell us all about the company. What do you guys do?
Green 4. Well, as the name doesn't suggest, we're a software company focused specifically on the sports and leisure marketplace. The name is a different story. That came about when we were having a game of golf, trying to decide on what the name of the company should be. And the four guys started the business, myself being one of them. And we were still struggling over the name of the company whilst we were playing the fourth hole of a golf course near home, and decided that we'd have something quite abstract, and the fourth hole stuck, so Green 4 it became.
Congratulations, you found that abstract perfectly.
Indeed.
So explain what Green 4 Solutions, what you do.
Okay, well, our real focus is on customer engagement, and in particular, it's consumer engagement. So in the sports and leisure industry, the main customers are fans of the sports organization or the leisure venue. And our objective really is to provide functionality that allows the organization to engage with its customers, with its fans. We use a number of techniques to do that. We look at the lifetime value of a customer. So it's not just getting people to come to the next particular event. It's looking at their lifetime value to a team. I'll take an English example. If you're a fan of a Premiership football club, you might decide on which team you're going to support round about roughly at the age of 7 or 8. That's when most people make their decision as whether it's going to be Manchester United or Liverpool. And if you then look at it from a commercial perspective, you then have 50, 60 years worth of engagement where that fan probably isn't going to change his mind over which team he supports. It's a commitment for life. So really, from a revenue point of view, it really just depends on how committed that fan is to that organization. And when you look at it from a monetization perspective, then it's how closely that club can engage with its fans. If you move outside of sport, then clearly you don't quite have the passion that you do within the sports organizations. And typically attractions, leisure venues, museums, that sort of thing, they have to work a little bit harder at getting their customers through the door because that passionate link doesn't quite exist in the same way. But from a technical point of view, the principle of engaging with somebody very personally on a one-to-one level is the way in which we use our technology to generate revenues and commitment from customers.
When you talk about fans engaging with their favorite team, I think today you think of social media. You can engage through Twitter, Facebook, things like that. Green 4 Solutions, when you talk about engaging, what are we talking about?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, social media is a high importance these days because of the speed and ease with which people can communicate. One of the key disadvantages of social media is a lot of it is anonymous. So although you can communicate, you don't necessarily know who your customers are, which makes it very difficult in terms of monetizing. So one of our primary objectives is certainly we use social media as a means of capturing people's details. But when we want to communicate one-to-one, we revert to things like email and SMS messaging, because by doing that, we know who the individual is. And behind the scenes, we try and build up a picture of that customer. We try and build up a profile that includes all of the personal static information, you know, where they live, what team they support, who their favorite player is, who they go to the game with, what age they are. But then we try and supplement that with transactional information. And what we mean by transactional information is their history of purchasing tickets, purchasing merchandise, going to events, what time do they arrive at the game, do they get there early to meet their friends, and so on and so forth. So we're trying to build a very rich picture of the fans' engagement with the organization.
So the team really gets to know its fans, and the fans, I mean, this is a benefit for them as well.
Massively, yes, because rather than having some glib communication that doesn't realize that you've just renewed you've spent $1,000 and renewed your season ticket and you've just had another reminder, now the communication can be very targeted and very personal. So from a fan's perspective, the level of service improves dramatically because the team can use the data that they hold on you to provide a much more personal service.
Let me ask a technical question. I think this all starts with the CRM, with the software of actually maintaining the database. Without going too far down the rabbit hole, kind of talk a little bit about the technology behind what your platform, who you use. You know, obviously you're going to say it's the best in the world, and your numbers are going to back it up. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best in the world. The platform we use is called Microsoft Dynamics. Microsoft have been involved in the CRM market for as long as Green4 have, since around about 2005, when we started in 2006. The platform is extremely flexible, so it can be configured to do a lot of different things in a lot of different industries. What Green4 specifically has done is taken the expertise that we found out about the sports and leisure industry and applied it to a very vanilla platform. So we have configured the system to do things that are unique in that industry. A couple of examples I can give you. Microsoft Dynamics is very focused on a business-to-business environment. So the majority of people that use that system will be businesses trying to sell to other businesses. And some of the functionality within the platform encourages that, the ability to track sales leads, send out proposals and quotations, and so on and so forth. The market we're involved with is much more of a consumer engagement. So the way in which we use that platform differs from the standard product. And what Green4 has done is added probably now about 15 different modules that really focus a lot more on the consumer engagement. When we first started, the first thing we wrote was an email marketing tool. So once you'd built up a profile in the database, once we were able to differentiate the fans between season ticket holders, occasional visitors, adults and children, and so on and so forth, we had a tool in the system that allowed us to build HTML-based emails, which were very personalized, and we could send those campaigns out to our target audiences. So from day one, we were very committed to making this a one-to-one consumer relationship. As time's gone on, we've enriched that by integrating other sources of data. So we now pull in the ticketing data, for example, from their ticketing system or from their retail system. The key for us is wherever possible is identifying who the consumer is. If you can imagine in a sports environment, so many transactions happen anonymously. You know, if you walk up to a stadium and buy a ticket, you don't necessarily know who the person is. Similarly, if you buy a shirt, or certainly the case if you buy food and beverages. What we want to do is try and get the consumer to buy online wherever possible, because he's enforced to give us his details. Or in the very worst case, we try to encourage him with incentives to give us his details when he buys anything at the club. So we've used this platform, which is from Microsoft, which has got better and better and better over the last 8 years. And what we've tried to do is utilize the platform, but at the same time, add more functionality where gaps existed. And part of the skill, I suppose, is understanding where Microsoft are going with their platform. You know, they've just introduced new functionality included called social listening, which is a way of tapping into different sources of social media. And we then have to think how we're going to apply that technology, how we're going to use that in order to benefit us specifically in the sports and leisure industry.
We're speaking with Sean Golden and Peter Oliver from Green Force Solutions. Sean, you're the business development manager, and you're specifically trying to build out the U.S. market,
yes.
Kind of starting here in Gwinnett County in Georgia. So assume I'm either someone who has an attraction or a sports owner. Where do I start? You know, when I sit down with you, where are you going to want to start with me? What's the first few conversations going to be about?
Well, the first conversation definitely is an introduction. We want to get a chance to know each other, understand each other, find out what we can do for you. I want to find out what your strengths and weaknesses are with your business, because we all have those strengths and weaknesses. And when I figure out what you have, then I want to find a way with Green Force Solutions to build on your strengths and also to build on your weaknesses. We want to help grow your business. Once we figure out that, we'll communicate even more, come up with a contract, and then we'll implement our IT solutions, which now allows you to find ways to make strategic decisions to help your fans in their experience, whether it's at the game, whether it's at home. We also have a rewards program that also engages your fans to be more giving at the games, but also receive rewards that you cannot purchase financially. Those are rewards that fans really want. You think about the Falcons. How many people would love to go and watch a behind-the-scenes practice or a film session? You can't pay for that. But with your experience, with your engagement, you can benefit even more just doing more and going to those hidden options that are being offered. And one of the analogies that I use, I love Hilton Garden Inn. I love Hilton property. Why do I stay there? Because of my points. A lot of people stay at Marriott. Why do you stay there? Because of your points. Everyone flies Delta. Why do you stay there? Because of your points. And Kroger here locally, people shop at Kroger. Why? Because you can get rewards on your gas. And we found that with a rewards program, with a more educated decision, people tend to spend more money when there's more educated marketing tool to help that person making those decisions. So those are one of the things we talk about. And we got to make that relationship not just a one-time relationship, but we want to make sure our relationship with our customers, the customers and their clients, are a lifetime relationship.
Seems like it's a no-brainer for not just the club or the organization, but the fan as well, because of all the benefits that you described. Is anybody else doing this? Do you have competitors out there?
That's a good question. We do have competitors. I think the sports and leisure industry has been quite behind the curve in terms of use of CRM. If you look at other industries like financial services or property development, the use of CRM has been fairly significant for many, many years. I think because of the disparate nature of systems, because you have a ticketing system that never talks to your retail system, that never talks to your food and beverage system, the complexity of knitting all of these systems together has been quite complex. And I guess that means that there's a barrier to entry for suppliers to come in. You have to have quite an intimate knowledge of the systems that exist within that industry to be able to deliver. And my experience, both in the UK and this side of the pond in the US, is that many of the companies that have attempted to deliver CRM have sort of reverted to type and implemented systems that are very business-to-business focused. So, you know, there is a business-to-business need within sports organizations. They do sell sponsorship and hospitality. And the majority of CRM vendors have focused on that. Our edge has always been on the consumer side in the engagement with fans. So that tends to be much more fertile ground for us. There are less competitors focusing on the consumer part. And I think the other big difference is that we've tried to make the gap broader by not just focusing on the technology. We also provide the marketing expertise to deliver best practice communications. So some of the things that you were talking about, you know, there's benefits to the fans as well as the organization. we try to teach the organization what those benefits can be, how to engage, you know, how do you get the highest open rates and click-through rates, and how do you get people to, you know, take an offer from an email and actually act on it because of best practice, not just because that's what the technology enables you to do. So in doing that, I think we've opened up a bit of a gap between us and some of our competitors.
Talk a little bit, neither, this is for either one of you. Talk a little bit about the scale. You know, obviously we started the conversations talking about sports teams. So on that, in that arena, go to some of the minor league teams, go to some of the smaller teams. But on the attraction side, you talked about museums, you talked about, you know, leisure parks, Six Flags, things like that. But I'm thinking of the Gwinnett County business owner who has a, you know, miniature golf course, or, you know, I'm running an arcade, or, you know, kind of a small business. I'm just one location.
An arcade? Are they still around these days?
Okay, I used the wrong word. Sorry.
Family entertainment center.
There you go. See, he's in the industry. You talk about financial services, I can give you all the jargon, but not so much when it comes to arcades. So talk a little bit about scalability. How small can a company be? Can you guys scale this down for a one operation? And then also feel free to go to the other end of the spectrum. And you mentioned the Falcons. You know, there is no, I guess there is no business too big that deals with their customers. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think that every business wants growth. Everyone wants to be successful. Another great analogy, and I love to use analogies. You look at Nike. Nike has a high-end shoe like Air Jordan, which is a $200-$300 shoe, but they do have the basic brand. At the end of the day, it's still Nike. And what Green Force Solutions, we don't discriminate against size. When it's about growth, helping a business grow, that's what our main factor is. Our job is to help your business grow. If we do that, then we're doing our job, whether it's a small business or a large business. Everyone always wants the big fish, but a lot of times it takes a lot of time, energy, and effort to get that big fish. But there are a lot of mini fish in the pond. So what we do is we try to find the best opportunity that's out there, whether it's a big, medium, or small. And if it's a win-win on both ends of the bench, then let's take advantage of the opportunity and let's become business partners to help one another. Because you're not just helping us with financially, which is, you know, it's a job, it's a business, but our job is to help you financially to grow your business so that you can get more clientele, so you can get more people in the doors and grow. So that's what, you know, it's not about us going out here and just catering in and focusing on one size structure business wise. We want to focus on them all.
Is there a first step as again, as an owner of whether it's the team or the family entertainment center, I like that phrase now. Is there a first step? You know, obviously, if I have no CRM, if I'm just doing things, you know, haphazard, I need to do all in. Is there a first step somebody can take? Well, I kind of got one. I don't want to just scrap everything just because, Sean, you had a great proposal. And good. You know, can we do this in stages?
Yeah. I mean, we talk about something called a minimum viable product, which is really the entry level solution that we can deliver. And to emphasize Sean's point, from a technology point of view, Microsoft is just as aimed at the consumer in its software as it is with big businesses. So the technology can scale from a one-man band organization all the way up to many thousands of people using the system. But from a functionality entry point, the key thing is to capture data into a central database. That's the number one step, is to find a means of capturing data. And many organizations will have a spreadsheet here and a Rolodex somewhere else with some customer data on. The first port of call is to consolidate and deduplicate all of that data wherever possible. We very much believe in customer self-service, so we would always build a customer portal. And Sean mentioned the idea of providing incentives to people. Well, if you have a portal, you have two choices into the way you capture information. You can either capture it through a transaction, which is purchasing something or accessing a venue, or you can give some kind of incentive for people to give their details, which then falls into the realms of a rewards program or loyalty program. So that is really the first step, is to establish a database and have some mechanism to capture new customer data. The more that data's used, the better it will become, because it's only with use that you know that it's up to date, that people will bother to change their name if they get married, or their address if they move house. So the use of the data is quite important in this. And the second component is then a communications tool. Once you've started capturing the data, you then have to have a mechanism to communicate regularly and valuably to a customer. There's no point sending out sales offers day after day saying another discounted offer, another, you know, another opportunity to buy. You have to have some valuable content within the information. And in sport, that's not difficult. In sport, if you think laterally, you know, you have stories from the training pitch, you have the manager's report, you have a whole host of things that you can communicate about and provide an inside track to people that have given you their information. And that's really what we try to do, is differentiate between the people that have bought into this and the rest of the consumers. So they're getting a bit of an edge on some of the content that they receive over and above the normal broadcasts and other sources of media that would provide that information. And that, I guess, is our minimum viable product, really, is that we have an underlying database, we have a means of capturing customer data, and then we have a valuable stream of communication that goes out to those fans and customers.
We're talking with Peter Oliver, the co-founder, and Sean Golden, business development manager for Green Force Solutions. And you guys have – I'll give you a chance to brag right now. You talked about how long ago was the company founded?
2006.
Yeah. Talk about some of the clients you have now.
Okay. Well, we started in 2006 with the four people that I mentioned. The first deal we ever did, we traded our software for getting a bit of office space within a football stadium. So we were somewhere under the stairs, I believe, in the early days, and at Coventry City Football Club in the UK. Since then, we've grown. We have something like 180 customers now. 50 people work for the organization. We have offices in the UK. We have a subsidiary office in Salzburg, which is in Austria. And as of a couple of months ago, we've set up an office in Atlanta as well, which we're very, very pleased with. In terms of customers, some of the names that you may be familiar with, as I say, some of them are the other side of the pond, but we work a lot with the O2 Arena in London, which is owned by AEG. They were at one point our largest customer. They had something like 2.8 million people on the database. And you can imagine they do a wide range of events, you know, basketball tournaments and ATP tennis tour, as well as a huge number of music events. And the task of the system there was to profile and segment all of that data. You know, why were people coming to the venue? What events did they come to? What genre of music did they come to? What other things could we promote and sell to them through that communication? So they were very early customer. We've got about a half a dozen Premiership football clubs that use the system. Some names that you may or may not know: West Bromwich Albion, Southampton Football Club, Wigan Athletic. We've got Celtic in Scotland. We've got AS Monaco in France and FC Porto in Portugal. So some fairly big name football clubs. In the US, we've been working with Kansas City Chiefs and Seattle Sounders. Very, very similar focus. One characteristic that has recently developed, and I'll throw in a term that is being used a lot more these days, which is big data. And big data is organizations trying to accumulate as much consumer data across the whole country as they possibly can. Now, sport's in a very good position here, because if you look at it on a league-wide basis, if you move away from an individual sports club and look at the entire league, then the number of consumers that they can establish is huge. And last year, we worked on a large project in Turkey, which was for the top two division club leagues, which is 38 teams. And we put in a system that managed all of their ticketing, their retail, their CRM, their loyalty. And in year one, we've got to 1.8 million people on the database. By the end of year five, the objective is to have 6 million people on the database. Now, this was helped by a change in law in Turkey as well, that everybody that went to a football match had to have a national ID card to get them into a game. And that was to alleviate some of the violence and problems they were having in the stadium. A very, very clever sponsor decided that being an investment bank wasn't good enough for them. They wanted to become a retail bank. And they basically converted this national ID card into a prepaid debit card, which became your ticket, and it also became your loyalty card. So in one foul swipe, this bank has been able to take on what will be 6 million customers. Every one of them will have one of their prepaid debit cards in their pocket. So it cost them $54 million to get the sponsorship over 5 years, but perhaps quite a cheap way of accumulating that many customers. And obviously, once they've got them as customers with prepaid debit cards, the objective will be then to upsell them into, you know, loans and other bank accounts and other financial services products.
Absolutely.
And Green4 has provided all of the technology underpinning that project. It was the biggest project we'd ever done. And if I may just name drop right now, it allowed us to achieve this year the Queen's Award for Export, and which is a very prestigious thing in the UK. Not many businesses qualify for it, and that has, you know, had stamp of royal approval put on what we're doing.
That is wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you very
on
much.
All of that.
Thank you.
Obviously, then, as you expand the company, and the company is growing rapidly, you could have chosen any city here in the States to set up shop for your North American base, but you chose Atlanta. Why Atlanta?
I think one of the main reasons was the communications capability. I mean, it's a direct flight in from the UK. Really easy. I flew in yesterday, and apart from the jet lag, which you can't avoid, it's a very easy way to get into the US. I think once you're here, there's a fantastic community that, you know, we've learned about over the last 6 months, and you know that is very important. It's how we established our business in Coventry originally, by getting engaged in that community, and with the help of Sean, we found that that's exactly the same is achievable here, which is really important to us. And then beyond Atlanta, then the communications into the rest of the US is equally strong, and it allows us to build a network by having a company in this location.
Well, you do have a good man in Sean Golden here. Sean, former basketball player at Georgia, by the way, this guy across the table, he's a Georgia Tech
guy. I know.
Guy.
I see his watch. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
I am too.
What attracted
I
you to Green4 Solutions? What was it about Green4 Solutions that said, you know what, I want to be a part of this company?
Well, before I make that, I have to say this and piggyback on what Peter just said. He had a chance to shake the hands of the Queen on Monday. So he just didn't walk through and say hi and bye, receive an award. He actually met the Queen and her husband. So, you know, I wouldn't wash my hands for a couple of years, for a long yeah. time. It just shows you how, you know, much hard work the company has put into it.
She did wear gloves, by the way.
And she wore gloves. I would have taken the glove off. But no, was connected with Peter. And again, when we met, just his presentation on the growth of the company, but the vision they had. And if you look at sports today, I've been around sports all my life, been in college basketball, broadcasting as well, too. The reason why Facebook is so successful is data. If you gave me $1 million or 1 million emails, I'd take 1 million emails. Why? I can make $10 million off those million emails. Well, you know, in the future, you got to look down the road, and this is exactly where everyone's going. Data control. You want to be able to communicate with your fans, this fans' experience. And so when you're part of something that's ahead of the curve, you want to be a part of something that's growing. And I saw the growth opportunity in Green4 Solutions, and I openly, aggressively accepted the opportunity and a challenge, and I feel that we're going in a great direction.
Well, as you grow, Peter, especially here in the U.S., where do you see yourself in 5 years? What are the goals? What are the aspirations?
I think
other than meeting the presidents now, then you'll have, you know, covered it all.
Yeah, that's on the agenda for 2015. Okay. So meet the president is the next step. No, being serious, I think when we entered the market, we weren't really sure how big this would be, or in fact whether we'd miss the boat. You know, CRM had been around for some time, but as I mentioned, you know, sports and leisure has been a little bit laggard in following that trend. There has been a view that we'll just open the doors and they shall come, and it's not really like that. People still have to work hard at getting an audience and getting the engagement and the monetization of that relationship. So there's no real glass ceiling for us. I think the size of the organization, the geographic spread that we can go to, Compared to 6 years ago, you know, everybody now is expecting to engage online. So it's not unusual for one to have to, you know, do all of your promotions and your ticket purchases and do the whole engagement online. And because of that, it allows us to now go to far more geographies than we did 6-7 years ago. You know, I had a conversation on Monday with a sports club in Tunisia. And, you know, the first question you ask is, you know, are people really able to engage online all the time? And they say, well, yeah, you know, 80% of the population have got mobile phones or smartphones. So there's not really any geographic limits to where we're going. And the question was asked earlier, you know, from a scalability point of view, yes, we can work with a small golf course or arcade, or we can work with a large
family entertainment
center. And, you know, we've got a massive family entertainment center in the UK. We work with the original bowling company. They have 42 bowling centers. Each one of those bowling centers uses our technology, not just for CRM. They use it to make all the bookings. They encourage people to book online. So one of the problems with bowling centers, if the sun comes out, nobody wants to go. They want to go outside and have their entertainment. But if you get the money up front and they're committed, then that works really well for them. We've now integrated it with a scoring system, which we've written for them. So you can go, if you get a strike, you can post it on Facebook. We can encourage the other four participants, not just the person that makes the booking, to engage and give us their details. So, you know, in terms of the scope of organizations that use this, it can go from anywhere from a professional sports club to a feeder lower league football club. It can go from a family entertainment center all the way to an entire league. So there's a huge market for us to go out.
You know, I think there are times businesses have to figure out how they're going to grow their business. And I think there are times where businesses spend all their time trying to convince people, no, you really need our product. This is a very quick, either I see the value of this or I don't.
Sure.
And the market is big enough. And you say you have some competition, but I'm thinking of the owner of the club who's you know, I threw out a Google idea or a Groupon idea, and I did this over here. And they're kind of just random stuff. Like you said, a random spreadsheet here or there. They're either going to see this is going to dramatically change my business or they're not. And there are so many out there that it really is a fairly short sales process to see who's interested. Is that a fair statement?
Well, Stephen, you got to look at it in a sense of, and I look at it like I'm a coach, because that's kind of my pretty much my DNA. Before I play any basketball game, what do I usually do? I get film on my who I'm playing. I go through a study sheet on each player, what their strengths and weaknesses are. I look at what our strengths and weaknesses are. You talk about a 3 or 4 day process, hours and hours of film sessions and scout reports for a 40-minute game. Well, if you don't have that same business mindset, if you don't know your clients, if you don't know your fans, you don't know when they come to the game, and you want to get your fans. You think about when I was in the UK, one of the things that I didn't realize, they don't tailgate in the UK. They don't. The game starts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They're there at 1:50 going to the stands. And when the game's over with, they're gone. Well, in college football and professional football, there's tailgating. So you want people to spend their money outside the stadium or inside the stadium. You know, so you got to find ways to get those fans into the stadium before the game starts, because I'm full and probably halftime I'll go get a sandwich or a drink that forth. But if you can find a way strategically with data and figure out what I can do to get these fans into the stands an hour before the game, now that's more money into your pocket. That's a way that we try to strategically give you an idea of ways to bring those fans into the game, reward those fans for coming in as well too. So now it's a win-win. And once you see the value of that, that's how you grow your business. That's how you can grow your fan base. And now they're more loyal to you inside instead of outside.
Well, this is great stuff. Very exciting stuff. Great to meet both of you gentlemen today. And again, our audience, business leaders, business owners, for those that might want to reach out and find out more about Green Force Solutions, tell us where they can go to get all the information.
Well, definitely go to our website at Green Force Solutions with an S, greenforcesolutions.com.
And it's Green Force Solutions, the number four.
The number four. Exactly. Yeah. Green Force, the number four, solutions.com. And you can get in touch with me via email at Shaun Golden, S-H-A-U-N dot Golden, G-O-L-D-E-N at green4solutions with the number 4 dot com. And we're excited to be here. We're actively now a member of the Chamber of Commerce here in Gwinnett. So very pleased for that. And we've got some fish on the hook that we are trying to reel them in, and we can get those going and started. We feel that we're in a great direction.
You heard it here first. Miami Dolphins apparently coming online with Green 4 Solutions. Wow, that's a scoop, Mike.
Hey, don't talk about the Dolphins. That is my team. I'm Miami Dolphins fanatic. See that?
We got some things Georgia coming. Georgia Tech fans coming together.
I don't know. We
can't
come together too much now because
only that, but he's a live prospect.
No, Georgia Tech fans. They mean well.
We tolerate them, don't we?
We have to always fall back on academics, which is pretty sad, but that's all we've got.
That's fine. Hey, the Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech.
There you go.
The one thing I will give you is that you guys have one of the greatest cheers, which is the Budweiser cheer.
Yep.
I do like the Budweiser cheer. And so that's one thing I do like.
You're
that.
Giving Georgia Tech credit for that?
The Budweiser. Yeah, that's
it's our cheer.
That's pretty neat.
That's
and everyone gets, even the little kids get to it.
You going to share it? I've not had it.
After the show, maybe.
we'll do that off the air.
Well, again, congratulations. It's exciting to hear where you guys are going, what you've done so far. You understand technology. You understand where it's going. I mean, very similar to Business Radio X. I mean, we are thriving because of the social media, because of internet and networking and bringing businesses together. So there's a lot of synergy. So really exciting to hear the great stuff. Sean, thanks for joining us. Great to see you. And Peter, wonderful to meet you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. I want a reminder that let people know that it's Green 4 Solutions with the numeral 4. And, of course, it's right here on our website. You can link to it from our website as well. A reminder that you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7 by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/GwinnettRadioX. For our Georgia Tech guy, Stephen Julian.
Hey, in honor of Peter coming across the pond to be on our show, I want to give a shout out to my friend over across the pond, Naomi Pollock. And I'm ashamed that I wasn't able to get Peter to say Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
There you go.
Now
I have. Woohoo!
Now the show is complete. Let's go to the arcade and celebrate. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.